1 year ago, 1 million people crowded into a Nairobi park to watch authoritarian President Daniel Arap Moi end his quarter-century rule and hand the presidency to Mwai Kibaki. Kenyans were wildly optimistic that a new era had been born, that corruption would be tackled, jobs increased, and their lives would improve. But a year into Kibaki's presidency, allegations of corruption dog his leadership. The election pledges have not been met, and life for the average Kenyan remains one of deprivation. And this week, cracks in Kenya's government widened after Kibaki declared obsolete the 15 parties that formed the coalition that toppled Moi. Kathy Jenkins is a BBC correspondent in Nairobi. Kenya became a multi-party democracy nearly 15 years ago. Is Kibaki's order to dissolve parties trying to reverse that?
Well, I think so far the parties concerned are saying very strongly that he's not going to reverse it. One of the main partners in the Rainbow Coalition, the Liberal Democratic Party, has said no, it's not going to dissolve itself, and that President Kibaki was totally out of order in saying that the party should henceforth dissolve themselves and be known under as one party, as the Rainbow Alliance of Kenya. So I think President Kibaki is actually finding that he can't make such sweeping statements so easily nowadays, and that the individual parties are going to fight back, and they are doing and saying we actually want to retain our own identities.
Kibaki instituted some anti-corruption reforms, and yet members of his administration are also being accused of corrupt practices. What about that?
This is something that preoccupies everyday Kenyans on an everyday basis, and it fills the headlines of all the papers. President Kibaki committed himself very strongly to eradicating corruption, which has really blighted this country for so many years. There have been some steps taken. For example, earlier this year, prominent judges were suspended because they were accused of themselves of corruption, of corrupt deals within the courtrooms. And reforming the judiciaries was really one of the planks of Kibaki's reforms. However, corruption is so rife within Kenya that everyone has said it is going to be very, very difficult to wipe it out, and steps are going to be very slow. I think the Kenyan people are waiting really for signs that anti-corruption measures are actually taking hold and are not just symbolic ones. It's very easy to remove a few top judges, but what about the corruption further down the lines? What about the corruption when ordinary Kenyans go and find they have to buy passports, they have to buy their driving licenses? These are the sort of things that Kenyans face every day, and they want to see steps taken to eradicate this sort of bribery and corruption, on an everyday level.
Kibaki promised to go after corrupt politicians in the Moi regime, but Moi himself will not be prosecuted. What was the government's reasoning there?
I think the government feels that Moi is just one part of the large corruption web, and that if you went for him specifically, yes, it would be of great symbolic value, but it might not actually change the fabric of Kenyan society and make it better for people and make it easier for people, Kenyan people, to function without suffering bribery. It's not clear yet, though, if former President Moi's name did come up in a corruption inquiry, whether he would simply be pursued as any other person mentioned in that inquiry would be pursued. I think the door has been left open that if President Moi's name comes up, well, yes, he would be investigated. I think what the government said is, look, he is symbolic. We have other fish to catch. We could go after him, but that won't solve your problems.
Has Kibaki delivered on promises of other reforms made at last year's election?
Well, certainly the one, and obviously you've just heard about it in your report from Johannesburg, the delivery of free primary education, that came about very suddenly, and I think that has made a difference to a lot of people. Sadly, though, children go into schools, they get free education, but then they're not the teachers to teach them, and they're not the books from which they can learn. This is another problem, and of course free education has to be paid for, and the government is still trying to find the money to do this and where that money will come from. I think if you speak to Kenyans on the road, Kenyans in the city here of Nairobi here, many of them will say to you, look, our lives haven't really changed that much. But they are watching very, very carefully. Kenyans follow the news very carefully, and they follow what their politicians are doing, and they hold them up very carefully to the light. And if they don't see changes coming, then they will say so.
Kathy Jenkins is a correspondent for the BBC in Nairobi, Kenya.